Okay. So imagine, hold on, let me get my list so I don't forget. Imagine a room full of Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Afghanis, and Iraqis singing that song. And that was a piece of our week. Yes, we were able to meet children and people from every one of those nations who have immigrated here or been in the refugee process, who came here anywhere from 10 years ago to a year or two ago. So I just wanted to give a little background. This all started in fall of 2021, and I began to just felt led. I was trying to find a way to experience the Middle East without, you know, having to try to figure out a way to go there as a short-term mission trip. So that's pretty hard. And so I began the process of communicating with Pastor Ra'ed in Sacramento, and took a little longer than I expected. But in the summer of 22, Joe and I were able to go down and meet with Ra'ed and Manar, his wife, and began the process of planning our first trip, which happened last summer in 2023. And last summer, we had about a total of 18 kids attend our VBS. It was the first time they had experienced VBS, and so breaking the ice, trying to get people to understand what that was. And so we felt that that was successful. And coming out of that and into this year, I was praying and I was expecting that God would grow it, you know? But when we got there and we had 29 pre-registrations, that was amazing. And then we showed up, and the first day there was 26, but about 13 of them weren't pre-registered. So that meant that the next day we would be expecting even more. And sure enough, the next day there was 39. So for me as a leader, just seeing that, I was like, okay, I knew God would do it, but until you see it, that was my highlight. We're going to share highlights today. That was kind of my highlight, seeing the whole thing mature and grow into what it is, and our relationships with the people down there grow and mature and getting closer. As you'll hear, you know, everyone here is growing relationships with the people down there, and we want to continue that. I wanted to share also, just as you're thinking, you know, why do these crazy people give up a week of their vacation to do this? And I think we're all motivated by what God does for us, right? What does God do for us? In Romans 5, it talks about God giving us peace, hope, and his spirit fills us with love. Really important, I think, which I think is where we get our love for those who aren't like us, for those that are different from us. And then in 5:8-11, Paul says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus has made us friends with God." So just the amazingness of having a relationship with God and wanting others to experience that too, especially others who have been in a dark place, bringing them from the darkness into the light is pretty amazing. And so the other thing, just that it's just really exciting because the world's here, right? The world's now in the U.S. We don't have to travel that far. It's 2.5 hours. And we saw how many countries? 5, right? We met people from 5 different countries that we can't go freely to. It's really hard to go to some of those countries, right? So it's just amazing. And so the good news, so I'm going to tell you the good news, because they're each going to also participate in that. But so the fruit of the week, some of the fruit of the week, there's many fruits of the week, but the fruit of the week was that 10 children prayed to receive Christ. And so as we go through, each person has a name, or the teenagers has a name. We wanted to put a name before you. So they will be sharing the name of each child that received Christ, so that you can do that. You can understand that. So here you go, Leif. Okay.
So I really enjoyed the week. It was awesome. And I'm going to talk about a kid in my group named Mustafa. I had an average of like 9 kids a week, mostly 6th graders. They were very rowdy, all boys. It was a lot. I often had Joe or Pastor Sean helping me. So on Thursday was Gospel Day. The gospel was preached in different stations like 3 times. And then in my last station, we had extra time and we didn't want them ready before songs. So I was told to read a small booklet. It had the 4 spiritual laws for kids. And at the end, there was a prayer. And those who wanted could pray with me to accept Christ. And Mustafa, he was a kid with special needs from a Muslim family. And in addition to 2 other kids in my group, they were Christian. All right. But especially he, I want to focus on. They accepted Christ. And that was really great.
Put the mic to your mouth.
That's okay. You can do it.
This trip was amazing. It was my first time going on a missions trip, and my kids were great. My biggest highlight was the food. It was really good. Hold on, let me get my phone. The community there was very welcoming, and I'm not reading all of that.
Just read one of them.
Read this one. I'm done.
She forgot
my student.
Zara.
Okay. So this is my second time going on this mission trip. I went last year, and I decided to go again because I wanted to like revisit it and see the people, because it was really fun last time. So one of the kids that accepted Christ was Christoph, and he was in Leith's group. He was one of those rowdy kids. but he got the booklet after he prayed the prayer, and I saw him sitting there, and he was just flipping the pages and looking at it. And so after, I went up to him and I was like, "Would you like to read through it with me?" And so we went in a corner and started reading through it, and he was like trying his best to read by himself, like the words, and he was super excited and so into it. And then he prayed the prayer with Leith, and then he just kept going around with his book, and he was so excited because we had to do the song. So he put his name tag. He's like, "I need to put my name tag in the book so I remember my place, because I want to keep going." So he put the name tag in the book, and then after the songs. At the beginning of the week, they were not, the boys not do the songs at all. But then he started doing the motions and the songs, which is really cool. So he's excited, and he did the songs and came back and read it with me. So that was a highlight of my week. And then also going to a family's home was very fun because it was cool to learn like their culture and words, and like they kept feeding us food, a lot of food, which was fun, but also my stomach hurt, but it was really good food. And they gave us Turkish coffee, which was fun to try, and kept me up all night, but it was really cool. It was really fun though, and it was fun to learn different things from their family, so that was...
Why don't you tell them about Kid Vid? How you looked at it differently.
Well, I never liked KidVid when I was in VBS. Like, it was like I did not want to go to that one, and because it was like just watching a video. But the kids, every time I was like surprised because they come to the sit down and they'd be so excited to learn, like watch the video, and I would do verses with them. And one of the days, the last day, the mom came up to me and she was like, my daughter was saying the verse, this one verse, like 40 times around the house, like nonstop. And they were really excited to learn the verses because it was like a challenge and they get a stamp, and they were just super excited. And so it was pretty cool because I never liked the KidVid, and it was weird to see that people liked the KidVid.
Well, you can tell I'm old school. I don't have my phone in front of me. My first highlight was on Monday when I was able to connect with some of the families and children from last year. And one day later in the week, one mom who had an 11-month-old crawling around on the carpet looked at me and said, "Do you remember me from last year?" And last year she was like, ready to pop, and she wanted to know if I remembered her from last year, and that really, really touched my heart. On Monday afternoon, it was really, really hot, and I was so impressed with Joe teaching Allison and Zena how to use power tools. Nobody lost a finger. He was such a good teacher, and they were good learners. It was very encouraging to have Pastor Sean and Becky come visit us on Tuesday and have them see what we were doing. And it always gives you a much deeper context when you can see rather than just hear. You're all hearing about it. They came and they saw. So we urge you next year, more of you, come. Come see or come spend the whole week with us. We had dinner at home's. Pastor Paul had just four of us at his home, and his two children are just delightful. Gabriel will be three next week, and he was like, "Who are these people?" And then, you know, within what, half an hour or so, he's running around, and he and Laith were playing hide the ice cream bowl. You know, Laith is really small, right? He has incredible reach, and Gabriel moved the dish, and Laith would bring it back, and Gabriel would try to hide it, and it was pretty funny. So that was great, being in their homes, being the home of Pastor Ryad and Manar, and hearing their stories, and they were able to go even deeper this year with us. She was married at what, 16? 16, is that right? Yeah. And she was ready. She was ready to be married. It was wonderful to hear the stories. You have been encouraging us, Pastor Sean, to step outside our comfort zone. And we had wonderful breakfast every morning at Holiday Inn. They had different variety. And there was this one gal that was bringing food, making sure that we had enough food. It's all serve yourself, but she kept bringing in more omelets and more sausage and more everything. And I started interacting with her and letting her know that we appreciated her work. Well, on Friday, before we left for the church, I asked her if I could pray for her. And she immediately told me her name was Barbara, asked me to pray for her son and daughter-in-law who are trying to have a baby, and then her other son. And when I started praying for her, she kept adding more prayer requests. And English is not her first language, so I'm going, it's okay, God knows what her needs are. But that was really stepping outside my comfort zone. But our morning devotions were really impactful, too, in terms of what other people have done in much harder situations. And here we are in a nice hotel in a nice U.S. city. And anyway, my final highlight was Friday when we got back here. And I got a hug from Nessa.
I had no desire to go on this trip for like the last however long they were talking about it. And then about a month ago, Karen Lammers was telling me about it, and I got that excitement. And I was like, oh, I think I'm supposed to go. So the only thing I really felt like I could do was the Bible stories, because I do them a lot. So I'll be real as quick as I can. I was so thankful on the second day when Pastor Sean and Becky came. And I had just been really, the first day, Lace Group was really bouncy, and it was hard to keep them focused. And I was really praying, and I was trying to do everything I could. I anointed the room with oil outside the doors. I anointed each chair and prayed over it. I was playing worship music on my phone. I asked people specifically to pray, because the first day I had two boys who were covering their ears saying, we're Muslim, we can't hear this. I'm like, well, you're in a Christian country. This is a church. Your parents brought you, but you can cover your ears. You can do whatever you want. So I was really praying over them. And then Pastor Sean and Debbie, or Becky came in, and they prayed as well. And all of you were praying. So the boys, that group came in, and they were talking, they were laughing, they were not paying attention. And I just prayed, Lord, please help me. And he showed me to place my hand gently on each head and just say, bless you. Bless you. And as I did, they got, it was a miracle. They got, each one got quiet. I just said, bless you to all 10 of them. And they let me. And they were just silent. And then one said, why did you do that? And I said, well, it's like you're coming to my house. You're coming into my space. I'm so glad you're here. God loves you. Bless you. And started the story, and they listened, and it was miraculous, and it was Jesus. The next day, they listened, okay. Okay, Wednesday night, we had this wonderful time at the church. They all brought this incredible food. We were all in a circle. People from their church prayed. People from our group prayed, and a lot of the prayers were for Darcy. And the more prayers, because it was for the message, and for the message, and for people to be saved. But every time someone prayed for me, I just thought, oh my gosh, the pressure, oh my gosh, the pressure. And one woman, Miriam Mimi, Michael's wife, was so sweet. I said, oh my gosh, I feel so much, because we'd been to her house, I said, I feel so much pressure. She said, you're going to be fine, because God's going to do that. So we got back to the room, and I had things ready, but this, just before, I'd read over the story and say, okay, God, how exactly do you want me to do this? I had everything. Nothing. I tried to write things down. I texted people to pray. I was like, it was like 11, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And finally, nothing was coming. And I laid on the floor and I was about to cry. And I was like, Lord, Lord, help me. I can't do this. I have to do this. Everybody prayed that I would. This is so important. And the word wisdom came. So it's like, Lord, I ask for, in Jesus' name, for wisdom. James 1:5, I prayed every way I could for wisdom. And then, and I, all I knew was the first thing. All he'd shown me was the first step. The next thought came. And the next thought came, and by 1:30, I had it all ready, and I was able to sleep. And the next day, they listened, and I got to pray with 7 little children in different classes. And I told every class, you don't have to pray with me. You can pray at home in your room. You can pray with other leaders. You can pray another time. And then 7 little kids wanted to pray. And then I hear later 3 others did. So, but it was all God. Every single night, every single day, it was all God. And to him, we give all the glory.
A highlight for me was that 2 of my girls on Thursday accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. One of their names was Latifa.
Say
that again. Latifa.
Latifa, and she did pray.
My highlight was, it was doing games with the kids. I did it with Joe for like 2 days, and then he left me. Yeah, it was rough. He went to do another group, so I did it by myself. It was fun. It was crazy. It was good. And I also really liked going to the Arabic house and eating the Egyptian food. Yeah.
Pretty much it. Oh, and your person.
Oh, my person's name was Tia.
Tia.
Yeah.
She was a cute little white girl.
Okay, my name is Audrea, and I really enjoyed my time in Sacramento serving the local Arab church. During VBS, I was a crew leader, and one of my kids' names was Naras, and he didn't speak English, he only spoke Arabic. So that was a little rough because I couldn't really communicate to him, but Mr. Wolski helped me, and he speaks Arabic, so that was good. Rosie did the kid vid, and she would do the verses and the hand motions, and I saw him doing the hand motions and speaking, repeating after the words in English. And that was really cool for me to see that he was still learning stuff even though he didn't speak English. Another highlight I had was we did yard work outside, and that was pretty cool that we could help. And we put 2 plant beds and a sandbox that Allison, Zaina, and Joe built. And I also really enjoyed going to a soccer night on Wednesday, and they had food, which was really good. And they prayed and sang songs in Arabic and English. I love singing along and the beauty in hearing them praise God in a different language. I also enjoyed talking and hearing their stories. I had a lot of fun getting to know my team better and getting missions experience. Thank you so much for praying and your support.
I've spent a lot of my life doing cross-cultural ministry, and there's a terminology we have. When we do, when we share Christ with someone from the same culture, can refer to as E1. When you do it in a similar culture, it's E2, but when it's a completely different, it's E3. Like Audrea with Naras, the boy was barely 4 years old and has never really even been out of the house before. Even though he was born and grew up here in the United States, he's just been at home with mom. It was a huge cross-cultural jump. Jump over to Zaina. I saw her group. She had 3 girls that were all sisters, part of her group. The oldest was named Zainab, which is really close. But there was Zainab, Banan, and then Latifa. And those 2 younger sisters were some of the 10 that accepted Christ. They've only been here from Afghanistan for a couple years. That in itself was still E3 evangelism, because these girls, in their very limited English, culturally, they're still Afghanis. This little boy, Nowruz, he is culturally still Syrian. And I think of what they did, and to me it was exciting to be able to be a part of coming alongside these young people, seeing them experiment, like test the water of cross-cultural ministry. Yeah. To me, that was the highlight. I loved being able to be a part of that. Thanks, guys.
You can know something is absolutely what God wants you to do, but that doesn't automatically mean it's going to be easy. There can still be problems. Our first day on Monday, when we got to the church, there was a construction site right outside. They were putting in new sidewalks, so there were lane restrictions. There was a row of cones blocking off the entrance to the church, and I thought, kids aren't going to come. They can't get in. But that didn't stop God. That first day, like Erica said, 26 kids came, even though there were cones in the way. There were a variety of electronic problems. We had texts through our cell phones that didn't get to everybody on the group. We didn't all get the message. There was one cell phone that got broken. There was videos that wouldn't play in KidVid. There were sound systems that weren't loud enough to amplify the songs loudly enough, but we sang anyway. We had two team members that needed to step away. We adjusted and we kept going. Penny and I had the craft rotation, and I really appreciate Penny's help. She, all week long, she was helping in there a lot, and then even before we went, she did a lot of the prep work of cutting things. And I also want to give a shout out to Katie Steak and Sherry Weiner, who also helped a whole lot with getting crafts ready before we even got there. And Penny also helped Colleen a lot with the snack. The kids like the crafts a lot. Even the older boys, they loved them. They didn't even want to leave when it was time to move on to the next rotation. They were into the crafts. And our rotation was right before the Bible story. So I decided to take a few minutes before, with each group, before we did the craft, to talk about how the craft related to either the Bible story or our theme for the day. And our five themes were: God made you, God is for you, God is always with you, God will always love you, and God made you for a purpose. I felt like God wanted me to do that to kind of prime them for the story they were going to hear with Darcy. The teens did a lot of physical work, like you heard. They worked really hard out there in the sun. They also helped move all the craft boxes twice because we had to keep changing rooms. I did not participate in the outside physical work. All I did was prune two rose bushes. That's all I had time to do. So there's lots of landscaping to do down there if you want to come and do landscaping. I was able to unclog two vacuums. The filters were so clogged that they were barely functioning, so that was my contribution, was fixing the vacuums. We had four Middle Eastern males, and I had recently had oral surgery, so I had stitches in my mouth, so I had to be careful what I ate. And someone said to me, "So you're not going to go?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm still going to go." And at every meal, there was plenty of delicious choices for me to eat. It's just another example of how God is unstoppable.
Okay, hi, my name is Kylie, and hold on, I need my phone. Okay. One of the things I was really worried about was how to connect with the kids. Basically because I'm not very good with kids, and I didn't really know what I was going to do with a VBS. So I was just going to stay with KidVid and just run it in the background. I was comfortable with that, but God was like, "No, you're getting out of your comfort zone this time." So after the second day, I got put to help with Audria's group because Mr. Wolski had to leave, and I really didn't know what to do with that because they were so young. But eventually, after I got used to all of the crying and the slow walking and making everybody apologize to everybody else, I started to like them a bit. I also did get to meet a kid named Jackson who was really sweet, and he always listened and had such joy at each station. There was some drama with two girls, and he was always peacemaking between the two of them. I was so impressed with his patience because I was so tired of those two girls. I had no idea how he was so patient. We also did a lot of outside work. It was really cool to think about how much of an impact just moving dirt around would do, even though it's kind of hard after we had Mr. Hercules leave. Yeah, Jillian Wolski's nickname. In short, this was a really awesome trip. God definitely showed me you certainly don't have to leave the country to go on a missions trip. There can be mission fields just 2.5 hours down the road.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I want to first share with one of the girls in my group, Miriam, accepted Jesus as her savior, and she told me later she did it 3 times already, but this one she actually meant it. And so she read the booklet with me, and she really wanted to keep reading, but she had to leave. And I was like, you can take it home. So she did, and she was really excited. And then the other thing was the other two girls in my group were going to cry because their mom couldn't take them because their mom had to work. So Mr. Wolski was willing to pick them up, and they were really excited to come. And they were like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I really loved all the things we did. And so I was like happy to hear they actually wanted to keep coming. And then the other thing was going to Tamar's house, one of the Egyptian people, and it was really cool to hear him, how he came, which I can't remember, but how he came, and he's an electrician, and he really likes doing the work, and he loves spending time with his family, and he's happy that his kids have freedom to explore who Jesus is.
My name's Colleen, and the name I have is Maral. She accepted Jesus as our Savior this week. Are you catching? These names are very difficult. I helped with registration, and there were no little Johnnies or Susies. Becky helped me one day. I'm like, Mustafa? Okay, do you know how to spell that, honey? So delightful, but I'm not good with names anyways. This was a real stretch for me. I want to tell you about 3 little girls. Jean mentioned them, from Afghanistan. And I was the snack group, which makes me wildly popular anyways because I have food. But they will sit and they're relaxed and they're chatting and you get to know them, some of their story. And those 3 little girls, the older sister had very broken English. I think they came last summer, was the story I got from missionaries. And the 2 little girls would not say a thing, but they had big, big eyes and they would smile and giggle. And sometimes they looked very sorrowful, but she would tell their story. And they came from Afghanistan and flew to Pakistan, and they were in a refugee camp. And again, it's sketchy because her English is not good, but she can communicate. They then flew to Brazil, and when they got there, they found out they couldn't stay. There was no work for Dad. They were told they had to move on. So they walked from Brazil to the United States. And I looked it up, and it's 7,500 miles. And the things I was reading said if you walk 10 hours a day, just straight through, it would take you almost 250 days. Well, these girls they were probably 5, 7, and 9 now, so they were definitely younger. And she, in her English, she said it was very hard, and the jungles are very dark, and she pointed at her sister. She said, this one cried the whole time. I'm like, yeah, me too. You know, we heard scary animals, and she said, my mom, we have to climb big mountains, and it's muddy, and then we slide down, and I think that must have been the Darien Gap, as I'm trying to interpret. And she said, my mom, 2 times she stopped breathing. I think she probably passed out from exhaustion. And then she said, because people ask her, how you do this? Because you're pregnant. And I'm like, are you kidding me? She walked all that way pregnant with her little brother. So they get, to the border, and she said, I think we take a plane to Sacramento. And in filling in their story with these 2 people that would bring them and take them up, sorry for my voice, it was a rough week. They said that, no, they came as illegal aliens. And so they said that we're trying to help them assimilate into the culture, but they arrive with no paperwork, so they don't have a job. And these little girls came every day in the same outfit, always clean, always their hair combed. We had water games, so we told the kids, bring a bathing suit. Well, they don't have a bathing suit. They brought a change of clothes, but it was their pajamas that they would change into to go home. So
My perspective changed this week because if you asked me a week ago what I thought of illegal immigrants, I would say they need to go back to the other side of the border and figure out a legal way to enter our country. There's legal ways to enter our country. Well, these people walked 7,500 miles to get here, and they're a sweet little family. They're not, you know, I think the media tells us, and I know there are trafficking problems and there are terrorist groups coming in, that there are sweet little families that are just trying to survive and made it here. So my perspective has really changed this week as to who these people are that are coming. And there is a mission field in Sacramento. And these people that had come, the missionaries helping them, they said, we moved from LA to Sacramento because Sacramento has the largest population of Afghani refugees in the United States. So 2.5 hours south of us, there's people that just need clothing, literally. So it was very eye-opening for me.
I'm Joe, and I went on this trip because Erica told me to. No, but seriously, you get to wear pink. This one. The two names, last names, I believe are Adam and Bannon, who prayed to accept Christ. And I tried to think of highlights, and I came up with no less than 6, but I won't share them all with you. You can talk to me between services, because we're going to wrap this up. But I think probably besides those reaching as one of the Wednesday night Arab church members said, you could not do this in any of these countries. It's only because we're in America you can do this here and invite Muslims to come and share. So the highlight really was for me the youth that went along. I don't think I heard one complaint. At least no serious complaint. We'd ask them to change what they were doing. Sure. Hey, we need help with this. Okay. And a couple of them would come over. And it was just wonderful. We have some great, great youth in this church. And Amen. You guys did great. So that was my highlight.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your amazing goodness. Thank you for the privilege that we have to not only to be your children, but to join you in adopting new children into your family. Lord, I thank you for this a mission field that is so close to us. Lord, it's not just 2.5 hours away. Lord, it is across the street as well in our neighborhoods and in our homes, Lord, in our workplaces and in the businesses that we frequent throughout the week. Lord, thank you that there are, the harvest is plentiful. And Lord, we want to be the workers that you are raising up to go into that harvest and to continue to bring in more and more people into your kingdom. Thank you that we can join you in following your lead in bringing the good news to all people so that they can call on the Lord and be saved. Romans 10:13 and following, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful indeed are the feet of those who preach the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being here this morning. Have a blessed day. If you would like prayer, we would love to pray for you as well. If you want to connect with our Sacramento team, do that. If you want to connect with Stuart and Sarah, you can do that as well. All right, God bless. Have a good day.